When you go on a walk, it's often fun, isn't it, to stop and just have a little look around and just see what you can see. Often when you see what you've journeyed through or you just take in your surroundings, it can inspire you and encourage you, as well as give you an idea of what might lie ahead on your walk or on your journey. Normally at St Saviour's I would walk us through a Bible passage and share something of the difference it can make to us today. But this morning on this sort of APCM Sunday, this annual meeting Sunday, I'd like to rather just sort of pause and have a look around at what's happened in the life of our church here at St Saviour's. Both things that have happened in the past, in recent times, and also take a look at what might lie ahead for us. And if you're new or just visiting this morning, I hope you'll get a taste for what St Saviour's is about and the Jesus who we follow. But first of all, let me look and think back on the last year or so. And as I do that, there's been lots of things to love. We've emerged, haven't we, from COVID and have seen many old and some new church activities get up and running. We've been able to return to guest services and events without the need for restrictions like masks and so on. And we've seen lots of new faces at some services at Mothering Sunday, Easter, Harvest and Christmas. And probably since the start of January this year, we have seen a new face or a visitor pretty much every Sunday service we've had here at St Saviour's. And a number of them have stayed and are making their home here at St Saviour's. It's also been very exciting as I look back over the last year to see people take significant steps for Jesus and the church. Things like making commitments to follow Christ for the first time, or serving in new ways here amongst our church family. And I think there's also been a steady increase in our love for each other. Of course, that doesn't mean that we always agree or we never rub each other up the wrong way, but there is, I think, a greater sense of being the family of Jesus together here at St Saviour's in Retford. And most excitingly, people's faith in Jesus Christ is growing. I hear more and more how people are praying for each other, how people are seeking to share their faith with friends and neighbours, and engaging with the Bible in our midweek groups and through conversations after our service. And I'm so grateful for all the ways that God is at work amongst us, and for the many people that give their time and talents to serve here at St Saviour's. There is so much to love. But it also feels like there's lots of things that we have lost over the last year, doesn't it? Some activities have not returned after COVID. A number of key people have moved on. Some onto new places and new opportunities. Others have been called to their home in heaven. And of course that brings with it a big dollop of sadness, doesn't it? And I know that many of us feel that deeply and personally at the moment. Of course, that also means there are bigger gaps in church life. A number of people are spinning, it seems, more and more plates. And many of our ministries feel quite fragile. There will be a need in the coming year to get more folks involved serving here at St Saviour's. But there may also need to be an adjustment in our expectations. We might need to realise that sometimes it's better to do a few things well rather than try and do lots of things badly or lots of things that just cause people to overstretch themselves and burn out. And of course, a loss of people also means a loss to our finances, and coupled with rising prices, that puts pressure on our church finances going forward. I was at a meeting earlier this week which suggested this is the case probably for most of the churches in our diocese at the moment. That's not meant to be an excuse, but it does mean we need to look at our giving and our fundraising going forward, especially as there is a need for substantial repair work to the church roof. And so there is a sense that as we look back, as well as all the things that we can love, we also feel a sense of loss. But it's important too to recognise the great opportunities that we have here at St Saviour's.
Our work with schools and young families continues to grow, and it was great to see 32 children plus their parents and carers attend our recent Easter Trail event. And many of those have come through existing connections with things like ABC, our toddler group, or our Lego club. And of course, we've got a number of other groups that seek to make connections and build friendships with people in the wider community. And it's great to see how these are so well attended and are providing support, fun, and opportunities to share faith. And you can read the church reports and find out more about some of the details of these groups for yourselves. And it will be great, won't it, to build on this as we head into this next year. At the moment, I know that many folks are happy inviting friends to these community events and activities which we run as a church. But that often it feels like inviting someone to a church service is a bit too much of a step. And of course, whilst we try to make church services accessible for visitors and people exploring faith, we perhaps might need to look as a church at whether there are other kinds of events that we could run where people have an opportunity to perhaps bring a friend along to hear something about the Christian faith, but in a way that's perhaps a little bit more accessible and relaxed than church. We may too need to look at how we can provide some more teaching to help us grow our confidence in speaking about Jesus with our friends and family. And so when we look back on the last year, despite the challenges, there is, I think, lots that we can be thankful for and lots that we can build on for the future. But there are, I think, too, a few temptations that we might face as we look back. One temptation might be just to focus on the losses. And that might cause us to panic or freeze, perhaps a bit like a rabbit in headlights. And we forget all the opportunities around us. Or we forget to recognise all the things that God is already doing amongst us. Another temptation might be that we, as we get more free from COVID, we're tempted to look back to the past. And that might cause us to moan because maybe things aren't as good as they used to be. Or it might cause us to sort of hearken back to the past in the kind of sense of like we must recreate the good old days whenever exactly they were. And as reassuring as that might seem, it's much more important, isn't it, to deal with the present reality and look together at how we can build for the future. And I think Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 can be a great encouragement to us. And of course, there's loads of things that we could say about it. Let me just draw out two that might be helpful for us this morning as we consider how we can continue to build for the future. Firstly, then, let's think about trusting in God's love. Trusting in God's love. There are some things in life, aren't there, that are very hard to put into words. Maybe when your first child is born, or you see some kind of like spectacular sunset view, or your team unexpectedly wins the league. And you get a sense that Paul is really struggling to put into words God's love here in Ephesians chapter 3. He's just been talking about what God's love has accomplished. And verse 14 starts, "For this reason..." And if you look back earlier in the chapter, you see the reason. "Through Jesus' death and resurrection, God has made it possible for Jew and Gentile," that's non-Jews, "alike to be reconciled to him." In other words, anyone, no matter their background, can be friends with God by trusting in Jesus Christ. Verse 12 puts it beautifully, just a little bit earlier from our reading. "In union with Christ and through faith in him, we have the boldness to go into God's presence with all confidence." At the coronation the other week, you only got into the king's presence if you were immaculately dressed and had the right invitation. We all know, don't we, that we can't meet royalty with dirty hands and untidy clothes. And so how can we then, with our unclean hearts and untidy lives, possibly have the boldness to enter God's presence? Well, it is because of God's love for us, that the love that sent Jesus to live and die for us, to make us clean and fit for God's presence. Here Paul is talking about a monumental love. It's so big that Paul prays for the Ephesian church and for us to grasp something of its magnificence and magnitude. It's so big we seem to need the power of God's Spirit to help us to understand in verse 16. And then Paul goes on to talk about this inner selves, roots and foundations. He wants the greatness of the love of God to get into the depths of believers' hearts and souls. For it to be a part of the very fabric of what makes us who we are. For, if you like, our very DNA to be infused with a sense of God's love. So that, like a stick of rock, when you cut into us, the love of God runs through all parts of us. Because we're so connected and intertwined and supported and upheld by this love. Now remember, God's love is not about soppy feelings that we might associate with a lovesick teenager or a Hollywood rom-com. God's love is about action and sacrifice. God's love doesn't say anything goes, but purifies us from all wrongdoing. God's love is seen in the willing obedience of Jesus to his Father and in the loving obedience of his people to him as we trust him and live life his way. So it is altogether emotional and affectionate, but there is also an inexhaustible substance to it. Like sort of staring out at the ocean, you cannot see the full extent of where God's love begins or ends. I think sometimes we can mistake God's love as being a bit like a train ticket. You know, we sort of hand over the ticket of God's love and then we get on the Christian life train. And occasionally we might look back at the ticket and think, oh, that's nice, that reminds me that God loves me. But the rest of the time we're sort of focused on exploring the train and working out how to get to the destination. But here, though, it almost seems as if God's love, rather than being the ticket, is like the train itself. It is his love that continues to carry and uphold us as we seek to live life for him. It is his love that will carry us through all the ups and downs we face. And of course, unlike British railways, it never breaks down. Or goes on strike, thank you. One of my favourite songs is a reworking of an old hymn. The words go like this. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. If this is how God loves us, so we should love each other. If this is how God loves us, then no loss or hurdle we face can give us cause to panic, can it? And I just wonder if this is the love that we trust in here at St. Saviour's. It is so easy, isn't it, for churches to trust in the vicar or in the PCC or in the finances and fundraising or in the quality of events and activities or the strength of our friendships and sense of community. But are we willing to trust in the Saviour and his love for us? Will that be the thing that when you cut into St. Saviour's, it runs through everything that we do? It is huge, it is enormous, it is gargantuan, it is bigger than a blue whale. This is God's love, let us trust in it. Perhaps you might even be here this morning and you need to do that for the first time. God's arms are open to you in Jesus Christ. Why not consider plunging into his love today? And let us keep on learning more of this love. That's why we have our grace growth habits. Spending time with Jesus. Committing to join in regularly with our time and treasure. And praying for 5 people to discover the love of God for themselves. There's more info on the cards at the back. Of course, if we do that, then more and more we will do the second thing that our reading draws our attention to this morning. we will more and more pray to the God of the possible. We are to trust in God's love and to pray to the God of the possible. Have a look at verse 20. I think it's a bit hair-raising, really. To him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. Just as there is no limit to God's love, so there is no limit to what God can do. And yet so often when we face challenges, if we've managed to avoid panicking or focusing on the past too much, we tend to focus on the resources that we do have. And so we plan and we seek advice, and of course that's good and right. Planning is great, it's important to ask for advice. We should make every effort to use all the resources humanly available to us. But if we are trusting in God's love, the first thing we'll do, and the thing that we'll keep on doing, is praying. After all, only God can make the impossible possible. Only he can do things that go beyond our wildest dreams and expectations. And so when we see that there are gaps at church, let's not moan. Yes, let's think about how we can involve others. But above all, let's pray that the Lord would send the right people. As Jesus himself prayed, the harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest. Matthew 9, verses 37 to 38. When money is tight, yes, let's explore our giving. Let's look at how we can fundraise, as we've already started to do, thankfully, with the church Ruth. But above all, let's pray that our Heavenly Father would provide for our needs. If we long to see more younger faces in church, let us do all we can to be a good witness to that generation. But above all, let us pray to the God who welcomed little children, asking that he might bring more families into our church family here. And I'm really encouraged because I think many of us are engaging more and more with prayer. I know our grace growth habit of praying for five people has really helped many of us. But I do think there's a lot more we could do when it comes to praying together as a church. We've been trying out different things to help with that, like our midday prayer on Fridays that we ran from January to Easter earlier this year. And we'll be looking at more ways we can do that in coming weeks. We'll be aiming to relaunch our Friday midday prayer, but having it once a month and including some lunch with it. We love to pray also for one another at our time together groups. That's a great opportunity we have to pray with each other. Do get involved with one if you're not already. And I'll also be doing some teaching on our Sunday services on the Lord's Prayer in a few weeks' time, just so we can keep that focus on praying to the God who can do amazing things. For he is able to do so much more than we could possibly ask or imagine. And we have nothing to lose and everything to gain by asking for him to be at work in us and through us. He is the God of love who has reached down into our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not use communion in a few moments' time to renew your trust and your love for him? And why not let this week be an opportunity to live out that love in your day-to-day life? We are called to trust in this God of love and to pray to the God who makes impossible things possible. Why don't we bow our heads and do that now?